Good morning, everyone. It is 10:02, May 11th, 2023. I call this regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchek. So we have a quorum. I have some comments that I've really been looking forward to. And we got together as a whole agency a couple weeks ago, but I didn't have all the statistics put together, so wasn't able to do it. And we have talked about this a little bit and decided to just get the statistics put together. But we are really excited about two milestones that we have hit relatively recently. And I think they're emblematic of the kind of work that the people of this agency do as a whole. But in this case, two specific individuals hit these kind of milestone thresholds. So first of all, thanks to Amy Haugen's work reviewing old paper files. And it's not, I want to emphasize, it's not it's like just scrolling through and saying, oh, this is more than a certain age or something like that. My understanding of this process is the hard part is carefully verifying that our electronic files are correct, that the stuff that's in that old paper file is in fact being saved, and then disposing of the paper versions. We reached an exciting milestone. She has now officially disposed of over 100 feet of paper. That's about 300,000 sheets of paper. A comparative thing in standard sizes of structures, it's about a 10-story building if you stack them up tall. Almost up to the PSC. Yes. But, you know, the obvious thing is saving space, but besides that, And I hadn't thought about this much until a bill that was down in the legislature as far as records retention. And we were talking about, you know, if you retain so much stuff, then request for information, that all has to be gone through to see if something they're requesting is in there. When it's electronic, of course, it's much easier. When it's paper, you're digging through all this. So I think, to me, the bigger thing than the space is that it makes our open records requests much more efficient. And she emphasized that she hopes it inspires all of us. I think that was probably a dig at me to review our own records retention list and see how much that each of us can dispose of. So thank you, Amy. And then another one, Jerry Schmaltz. Thanks to her continued work finding numbering block solutions when people come in and set up and request numbers. And I think it's important to emphasize, it's not we need to grant them numbers. But we can work with them and try to urge them to not demand a whole block of 10,000. But if even taking 1,000, those have to come from somewhere, right? So it takes diligence, and we worked with the cooperatives a couple years ago and got a lot of them to be willing to, in many of their small towns, relinquish 1,000 blocks of numbers. And Jerry has spent a lot of time when we get these new number requests working with both the people requesting them and, in many cases, our existing providers to find blocks that they're not using and persuading them to make them available. And the North American Numbering Pool does an exhaustion estimate for area codes. And those can swing quite a bit in a six-month period. You know, if you get a big request come in, all of a sudden you've dropped way down. So you don't want to put too much into one comparison to the next, but in this case, it's such a jump. Our previous update in October of last fall showed us running out of 701 area code by the third quarter of 2030. Just a couple years ago, it was even much closer than that. But now, from last October until this spring, our exhaustion date has been pushed back to the first quarter of 2033, so 2.5 years. I know this is takes a lot of patience working with people to get these things put together, but this work allows us to continue maintaining our efficient 7-digit dialing in North Dakota when it's not long distance, or of course one if it's long distance. And it avoids the painful decision that this agency faces someday when we exhaust the 701 area code of deciding which places all have to adopt whole new numbers because they're getting switched to the new area code, and who gets to stay with their old numbers. And nobody likes those kinds of changes. So thank you, Jerry. Thank you both. These are just tremendous milestones that I think show the work that really over 40 people within this agency do every day that goes unnoticed to the public. And I just thought with two of them coming in a short time, we ought to highlight these two. Thank you. And that concludes my comments, I believe. Commissioner Haugenhofer?
Well, I'm just going to say thank you. Amy and Jerry are here in the room, so I want to thank you for your work and commitment to doing such a good job and making this office look good, but it's because of you, people like you and many staff, that we're successful. So thank you for a job well done, Amy and Jerry.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
Thanks, Randy, and Jerry and Amy. Great job. It's been fun to hear about those accomplishments. Really important things that get just sort of everyday matters that I think would be easy to just kind of move past. But I love that you called that to everybody's attention, Randy, and I think it's a new tradition that you're going to bring to the commission meetings as chair to highlight different good things that are happening within the organization. And you used to highlight interesting facts about small towns in North Dakota, but then we got rid of that as an action item. So maybe that this can be your new thing. I love it. It would be really fun to call attention to that those good matters. So thanks very much. And I don't have any other opening comments.
Okay, we'll move into the business section of the meeting. And we have three items on the consent calendar and plus the previous minutes. I recommend approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I have one item for the regular agenda. I move the commission publish notice of the 2023-2024 telecommunications relay service surcharge in the daily newspapers of general circulation in the state of North Dakota and Public Service Commission telecommunications relay service miscellaneous case number PU-23-166.
Second.
So 30 years ago, almost to the day, on April 21st of 1993, the great Governor Ed Schaefer approved legislation that established a program to provide specialized telecommunications services and equipment to the communications impaired. The program is funded by a surcharge paid by customers of local exchange companies and radio communications service providers. The program is administered by the North Dakota Information Technology Department, and each year the Public Service Commission calculates the amount of the surcharge based on cost data and other information provided by ITD. We've calculated that 2023-24 surcharge to be included in bills to customers is 3 cents per access line per month, and that number is unchanged from what it is currently. Great program, helps the communications impaired, and look forward every year to seeing if we can continue to hold it at 3 cents one more year.
Give that to Julie. Is this for later? Okay.
I have nothing in my portfolio.
Oh, we got to vote on this
one.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Sorry. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you, Randy. Give me 1 second. Okay.
I will point out that Commissioner Haugenhoffert had just about all the items at the last regular meeting we had. Yeah. So
last several.
Things tend to balance out this time. Yeah. You ran out of stuff to bring us for.
I did have on something on the regular, but I withdrew it because I requested some additional follow-up.
Very good.
Why do I have 2 copies of this? Does anyone know?
Yes.
I don't need the background. Just is one of them outdated and one of them new?
There was a duplicate line in the first one. So
okay.
So nothing of the content had changed. There was just a duplicate.
So I'm assuming that the one that's attached to the motion is the correct one?
Oh.
That one. Okay. Perfect. No problem. All right. So I'll go ahead with this. Am I free to go?
Yes. Chair.
I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Sunflower Wind Project LLC Wind Energy Conversion Facility, Stark and Morton Siting Application Case Number PU-14-105.
Second.
Okay. So on the commission provided a site certificate for Sunflower Wind in 2015, and that project was constructed in Stark and Morton counties. It is a wind generation facility. On November 12th of 2021, Sunflower petitioned for an extension from December 31st of 2021 to June 30th of 2022 to procure and install a functioning aircraft detection lighting system, ADLS. So they asked for that extension on November 12th of 2021, and on December 1st we issued a notice of hearing on that. Due to the notice requirements, we were not able to have that hearing until January 10th of 2022. So that was after the legal deadline for having the functioning light mitigating technology, which was December 31st of 2021. So we had the hearing on the 10th. Staff had sent a notice of noncompliance to the company 5 days prior on January 5th of 2022. And then on January 18th, we denied Sunflower's request for an extension. And that was based on just a number of facts, mostly in my recollection. They had asked for the extension so late in the game and really hadn't done, in our estimation, the necessary preparations to try to be compliant and get the technology up and running. So we denied their extension, so that basically held them to the requirement to have that light mitigating technology up and running by December 31st of 2021. let's see. When did they notify us? So this last December of 27th of 2022, they notified the commission that the ADLS at the project became operational on December 14th. So they essentially were out of compliance for almost a full year. So staff negotiated with them this consent agreement. The advocacy staff basically concluded that they violated the law and the administrative code by failing to have the functioning light mitigating technology operational by the deadline, which was December 31st of 2021. And under the consent agreement, Sunflower and Advocacy compromised to a penalty of $100,000. So just a couple of comments on that. Based on the consent agreement, which I agree with and am going to vote to approve, they will pay that $100,000 civil penalty to the commission within 10 days, assuming that we all approve that, or a majority of us approve that penalty. I think this is the highest penalty for siting that we have ever levied. I think it's appropriate for a couple of reasons. First of all, the whole point of this law is to help make these facilities less obtrusive to the public. And so we've been pretty clear in all of our interactions at every step of the way with every single company that we expect this technology to be implemented on time. And we have provided one extension, and that's it. And the other companies that failed to meet the deadlines have been penalized. And so we have some experience in what those fines looked like. And this fine is in line with the same amount per day that was negotiated in the next highest fine that has been levied, which was against the Rugby Wind facility. And that was, I forget out of compliance how long they were out of compliance, a few months, and they were levied a fine of $24,000, which came to about $311 per day. And this is just a little bit less than that per day. It accounts to for the amount of penalty that they will be paying. And so, you know, the staff negotiated with them. They've agreed, the company has agreed to pay it. And I think that it's appropriate. I appreciate the company understanding the importance of this and agreeing to pay this fine and move on and keep this technology up and running as often as possible, minimizing the amount of light obstruction that this creates to all the people that live in and among these wind facilities. So thank you to the staff for working hard on this and coming to closure. This will bring, I believe, all of our facilities in compliance. Or is MDU still? I think MDU's Thunder Spirit still is working on theirs, but we don't expect them to be beyond their extension. Okay. All right. I guess we have one left, and then we'll be done. So, thank you.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I have a few comments. First of all, I'm going to say I thought it was ironic that the last case involved 3 cents, and then this one's $100,000. So kind of all over the board on the scale of what we're dealing with here. But I think this is appropriate, though. And I do think that there's another wind farm that kind of was in compliance but had a section that wasn't working, and I don't know that it's even working yet. And so that might be an issue too. But if anyone thinks that this penalty is too low, I just want to emphasize that this isn't just about people in that neighborhood that have needed to unnecessarily watch lights go for just about a whole extra year. It's about the credibility of this agency. One of our jobs is, you know, having public information about the things we do, and we talk about the fact that we were, you know, probably the first place in the nation to require this, and it's in effect. And people drive down the interstate all year long and see the same lights blinking all the time. Of course, when it's at night, they don't see the ones that where the system is working and aren't blinking. They just see the same ones blinking all the time, and you know, it kind of diminishes our credibility too when a company puts us off like this. So, I think this agreement is fair and reasonable, and I'm going to support it as well.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That actually concludes our regular order. I have just a couple of announcements here that I want to emphasize for upcoming things. It's a ways out, but there are things. This next one is something that people are following closely, so I'll point out that on Friday, June 2nd, at 8:30 a.m., is the next formal hearing on the SCS carbon transport CO2 pipeline. And that will be our last public hearing, and that is here in Bismarck in the North Dakota Heritage Center Auditorium again. So that again, Friday, June 2nd at 8:30 a.m. And I really want to emphasize this to utility companies and people who follow our meetings real closely. Our next regular meeting, this might be the longest gap we've ever had, but it's a little bit of a slow time of year and then just some other unusual conflicts. So the next one is scheduled for Wednesday, June 7th. We actually have a almost 4-week gap. That'll be 10 o'clock as normal. But again, Wednesday, June 7th is the next regular meeting. That afternoon also we'll have our rail service and safety stakeholder discussion. So those are just a couple of the announcements that I thought should be made. We will stand in recess to offer up ourselves to any questions that might be available from credentialed members of the press. So we are officially in recess.